You know, for many of our families here at NWCOG, summertime has been a time of a relaxation of sorts from routine, right? Working parents may have maintained the same rhythm all through the year, but summertime in this neck of the woods, right? A break from school translates into different wake-up times, different morning activities, time off from homework, fluctuating evening schedules, perhaps even change in bedtimes for kids, and maybe even for parents and grown-ups alike. But in case you blinked and missed it, here comes the school year again, right? School's beginning back in session. Some have already started. I know for my kids, it'll start this next week. Colleges and universities will commence soon. And it's a time for many families to get back into the swing of routines and for the entire household. And the irony of it all is this. Within a couple of weeks, many of us and our families are going to settle into predictable schedules, a rhythm of a routine of sorts. And within no time at all, for whatever reason, many of us will find ourselves just kind of going through the motions. I get up, I eat, I drive to work, drive to school, go to practice, go to the grocery, come home, fix dinner, eat dinner, watch a little TV, go to bed. Boom. That's what a lot of people do. And we find it difficult, and we ask ourselves, why is it so hard for me to live an ordinary day connected to Jesus? If that's ever been true for you, then today you're in the right place, because wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, Jesus really does want to be with you in your 24/7. Matter of fact, I would say this. In your normal everyday life, God wants to help put purpose into your predictable. I think many of us, if we're honest, we compartmentalize our lives. We have our spiritual activities over here and then our daily and routine activities somewhere else. But what would it be like for you and I to spend an ordinary day of your life doing the things that you normally do, but doing them with Jesus? What if, beginning this evening, before your head hits the pillow, for the next 7 days, you decided that you were just going to take it one day at a time? I mean, the Bible talks about the importance of a day, the importance of 24 hours. Matter of fact, the psalmist says it like this: "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Yesterday was the day the Lord has made." So many of us like to live in the past, or "Tomorrow is the day the Lord has made." He says, "This is the day. Today is the day the Lord has made." See, if you and I are going to learn to spend an ordinary day with Jesus, it's going to start today. For this is the only day you and I have been promised. And yet so many times we focus so far down the road. That's what Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples. Hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, don't read that out of context. Jesus doesn't say that it's wrong to plan for tomorrow, but he says this: in your planning, as you get ready for face tomorrow, don't worry about it. Don't let it consume your every waking moment, and don't let it wreck your sleep pattern. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough trouble of its own. You know, here's the thing. In order to take one day at a time and to live each day connected to Jesus doesn't take a lot of heroic measures. I think sometimes we think, well, man, if I'm going to live every day with Jesus, man, there are so many things I'm going to have to change. Not necessarily. This doesn't necessarily mean doing new things, but rather doing the things you're already doing in a new way. What would it mean for you to do your normal everyday life, but to do it in a different way than maybe you've been accustomed? What if you were to do your normal everyday life and you did it in Jesus' name? See, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, it says this: "And whatever you do," watch this, "whether in words or deeds," actions, "do it," help me out, church, "do it" what? "Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Have you ever taken some time and paused and thought about what that really means? I mean, what would it look like to live each day in Jesus' name? See, when Paul wrote these, when the Apostle Paul wrote those words, You have to understand the culture in which he read it, in which he wrote those words, because sometimes when we think, well, what does it mean to live each day in Jesus' name? It's not just about the name of the person. What Paul was saying is this: in whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the same character, do it in the same essence, do it in the same likeness of Jesus. Do it in his name. You represent his name. What would it look like if everything you said and everything you did it in Jesus' name? I mean, man, just consider how encompassing those instructions from Paul are for you and I. I mean, there are so many things we could come up with. I mean, when you think about it, like, what would it mean to sleep in Jesus' name, to wake up in Jesus' name, to eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner in Jesus' name? What would it mean to drive to work, to drive to school in Jesus' name? What would it mean to go to work in Jesus' name? What would it mean to parent in his name? What would it mean to spend your money in the likeness of Christ, or to deal with relational conflicts that come into your life, or to perform household chores in Jesus' name, or maybe even vacation in Jesus' name? You know, the list could go on and on, and you probably have others that you'd probably add to this list, but if you just take the few that I've shared with you, and as you look at this list, which of the above, which of these are the hardest for you presently to do with Jesus and to do in his character and in his likeness? Take a moment and think about that. Which one's the hardest for you right now of just those listed? I mean, for some of you, the first one, probably sleeping, what is that? Some of you are like, you don't get much rest. Maybe some of you are wired kind of like me. If I'm honest, there are many nights I really have to focus when I get into bed and lay my head on the pillow. I have to sometimes consciously tell myself, I've got to turn this off. Because I lay there and I think about concerns, and then I've got worries, and I've got the thoughts about this person, and the thoughts about this meeting that's coming tomorrow, and all those things. Or maybe for you, it's waking up because you hit the snooze like four times, and it drives your spouse nuts. Or maybe for you, it's eating. Maybe for you, it's driving. Some of you, man, I've seen you drive like a maniac. I know, because I'm yelling at you as I pass you. I mean, if Jesus is really doing life with you and he's in the car with you, how many of you need to slow down a little bit? I think some of you need to speed up, but that's another story. Right? What about driving and working? What would work look like if you did your work in Jesus' name? Would you cut corners? Would you do a shoddy job, or would you really strive for excellence? Because the repairs you're doing on that car or that person's house or whatever, it's not yours, but it's, and they may never know that you cut the corner, but God does. And you're doing it in his name. What about parenting? Some of you are like, man, I lose my patience too quickly. I am not the parent. I'm not the grandparent that I want to be right now. Okay, so how are you going to do that differently? It's not that you stop parenting. It's not that you stop being a grandparent. You just do it a new way. You do it in Jesus' name. What does that look like for you? What does it look like to spend money in Jesus' name? Some of you are in the habit of impulse spending, impulse buying, right? You see it, you like it, you do it. And that gets you into some trouble. What would it be like if you spent money in Jesus' name? Or what about this, handling relational conflicts? Think of the words that you've spoken to somebody else in the past 24 hours. And if you really took Paul's instructions to heart, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, how many of those words would you have to take back? How many of those words should you have never spoken? Or doing household chores. Man, what's it look like to vacuum, to do laundry, to clean the toilets in Jesus' name? What about vacationing? Some of you go, what's that? I can't remember the last time for those of you who had the opportunity, I just got back from vacation. Were you able to laugh? Were you able to play with your family, with your friends? And were you grateful for the opportunity? Or were you present with the family, but you weren't present with the family? You were so distracted, you were everywhere, you couldn't even find joy in that moment. Well, there's a lot of things that we just listed, a lot of activities, words and deeds that are being done. But here's the thing, let me be very clear about this. We are to do life with Jesus in a partnership, but this is not about a performance. I'm not asking you to grade yourself on all these performances right now. I'm simply challenging you to say, when you do these things, which most of us do, quite a lot of those we do every day, but through your everyday normal life, what if you could infuse purpose into the predictable? What if it wasn't so much about how you performed in each area, but the conscious thought was, how am I going to do each of these in likeness to Jesus' character and his essence? What if I did it in his name? What difference would that make today? What difference would it make in this next 7 days in this weekly challenge that our pastor just gave us? Well, if you're going to do one day at a time and you're going to do it in Jesus' name, then you got to begin each day with Jesus. And in case you didn't know, each new day, according to the Bible, begins in the evening. Right? What would it look like to sleep in Jesus' name? See, if you read the Old Testament, if you caught this or not, but in the Old Testament, the day began at night. Genesis says this. I don't know if you ever caught this pattern, but notice what it says. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God created this and he created that. And there was evening and then there was morning the third day. And God did this and he did this. And then there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And on this pattern goes, evening into morning and a new day. I love how Eugene Peterson put it. For those of you who don't know who Eugene Peterson is, man, he is a wonderful man of God who wrote one of the most popular translations of the Bible. It's called The Message. Maybe some of you have it or have read that version. Here's what he says. He said it like this. Thinking about night as the beginning of the day reminds us that everything doesn't depend on us. We go to sleep, but God is working all through the night. So we don't have to be anxious or rushed. When we wake up, we simply join him in his work. You know what he's saying right there? He's telling us that sleep is an act of trust. When we sleep, when I go to sleep at night, I'm acknowledging that God can run this world quite well without my help. And he can do it without yours as well. Right? I mean, do we think about that very often? I mean, we told our kids that when they were younger. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God, you got me. David understood that, the psalmist. In Psalm 3, he said it like this. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Let me give you what that image looked like. We don't know for certain what was going on in David's life, but we know that it was coming at him. As a matter of fact, I have this image that David had some of his bodyguards, if you will, men with shields, because David was a king, right? And they would take their shields and hold them here, and some would hold them above their head, and they would form a circle around King David. And King David, in the midst of battle or whatever was trying to assail him, those would keep watch for him in the night. They would protect him with shields around and shields above him, and he would lie down, and he would then get up again. I want you to take that same analogy and think of that in your relationship with Jesus and sleep being an act of trust. You're going to lie down, but you're going to wake again because all through the night, God is working and he sustains you. He is the one who protects you when you're not even consciously aware of what's going on around you. Sleep is an act of trust, but sleep is also a gift of God. The psalmist also said these words. In vain, you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You know, for some of us today, if you're going to sleep in Jesus' name, you got to learn to trust him a little more. You got to say, you know what, I'm going to turn this off because I don't have to think about this as I go off to sleep because you know what, my great God's got me. I'm going to lie down, I'm going to wake again because he sustains me through the night. And I embrace it because I understand from the Bible that sleep is a gift from him. I don't have to get up early. I don't have to toil late just for food or let alone for the pleasantries of life. But he grants sleep because he loves me. He knows that I need this rest. And you know, for some of us, we need to hear that because here's the thing. Sleep deficiency is one of the greatest barriers to spiritual alertness and healthy relationships. I mean, you think about this. Think about how lack of sleep, being sleep deprived or deficient, affects our everyday lives. Jesus makes mention of it. Right before he went to the cross, you might remember he snuck away to the garden to pray. And of his 12 disciples, he brought three a little deeper into the garden with him. Pete, Jim, and John. He says, hey, Pete, Jim, and John, I'm really torn up about what's about to happen, and I need you to stay awake and watch. Stay spiritually alert with me and pray with me. And then Jesus went away from them, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed to his Father. And when he came back, his three closest buddies, Pete, Jim, and John, are asleep. Matter of fact, Jesus says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked them. Oh, yeah, we will. He goes back, and you know how many times this happened? He keeps coming back, and they're still asleep again. And the last time, the people who came to arrest Jesus to take him to be crucified came and got him, and he says, my betrayer's come. You see, when you and I don't get sleep, when we're deficient in our rest, we're not spiritually alert. We don't understand the schemes of the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy our souls. But even more than that, it's hard to be like Jesus. It's hard to live in Jesus' name when you're sleep deprived. And if you don't think that's true, let me just add, let's do a little experiment real quick. If you doubt that that's true, try hanging out with a sleep deprived person and see how well they do at living in Jesus' name. I would say this to you. Perhaps the single most spiritual thing you could do beginning this evening and for the next 7 days for some of you is not to pray more, it's not to read your Bible, it's to get some sleep. It's to rest. It's to lay down in an act of trust, receiving the gift that God has given. So God, I'm gonna trust you, I need some rest right now. And that's okay. Because you'll be more spiritually alert, and guess what, you're gonna be more fun to be around. So what are the key action steps? Well, that's very simple. And in case you haven't figured this out, this whole sermon series, this mini sermon series, we're taking a break from the Gospel of John, kind of doing a topical thing here. It's going to be about 50% scripture, but 50% practice. What do I do with this? Here's the first thing. Get enough sleep. And I know for some of you that's hard because people whose sleep is out of sync with their body clocks. There are some of you who work like third shift, that just plays havoc sometimes. Those are those who are maybe who try to sleep and they're routinely interrupted. Like if you're a caregiver for somebody else, whether it's a child or an elderly person, or maybe you're an emergency responder, that you might need to really pay special attention to what does it mean for me to get enough sleep. But even for the rest of us, I looked this up and I'm like, what is enough sleep? I've heard numbers before. According to the National Sleep Foundation. This is interesting. School-age children, we're starting school, right? So if you have kids, mom and dad, listen up. If they're between the ages of 6 and 13, the National Sleep Foundation says your kid ought to get 9 to 11 hours. And so as they fight you, because the sun's still staying up a little later, and you're telling them you're going to bed at 8:30, and they're fighting you, stick to your guns, because they need it, even though they don't know they need it. Teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17 need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And then the rest of us, you know, 26 and older, they say 7 to 8 hours is what you need. Now, that's not true for everybody. Some of you can live and function on 5. I can, sometimes even 4, but not a steady diet of that. What does getting enough sleep look like for you? Secondly, when you go to sleep at night in Jesus' name, before your head hits the pillow, seek to resolve any relational conflicts you have with another person. Because here's what we know. What we think about right before we drift off to sleep shapes how we often feel the next morning. So one of the reasons it's beneficial for you and I to try to resolve any conflict that we have with another person. I thought about, well, can I speak to that? There's another guy who can speak to it better than I could. And I want you to realize that the words of this gentleman, though years ago, were spoken from a guy who was in the Nazi concentration camps, who was in the midst of Adolf Hitler and all of the mess. And the man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this: "It is the decisive rule of every Christian fellowship that every dissension that the day has brought be healed in the evening. It is," notice his word, "it is perilous for the Christian to lie down with sleep with an unreconciled heart." That's pretty well said, but I think he stole a page from the Bible and listened to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, because Paul said this in Ephesians: if you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And my friends, understand that the issue, the conflict, may not be able to be resolved that very evening, but you and I, the scriptures call us to do everything within our power to begin the process of reconciliation. And so, what are the action steps about sleeping in the name of Jesus? Get enough sleep. Resolve all conflicts as the best of your ability that you can before you go to bed that night. And then lastly, before you go off to sleep, pray with anticipation for God's fresh mercies. The Old Testament writer of the Lamentations says it like this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." This evening, I want you to try this. Before you drift off to sleep, when you think, man, I don't know if I'm going to keep my eyes open any longer, invite Jesus to partner with you when you wake up. Prayer could be something simple like this: God, I'm about to fall asleep, and that is an act of trust. And when I wake up, I want my first thoughts to be about you. I think there's a good chance that when you wake up, that may actually happen if you begin to develop that pattern. God, let my first thoughts be of you when you wake me in the morning. So we're talking about sleeping in Jesus' name. That's the beginning of the new day, right? Now we're going to get to what we typically think is the start of the new day, and that's when we wake up. What does it mean to wake up in Jesus' name? How do you wake up in Jesus' name? In other words, this would be an interesting question. It's always fun for me as a pastor because I can see all of you and I can see the people you're sitting with, most of you at least. And it's always interesting to me to see, you know, and if I ask this question, what are you like in the morning to get the looks of the spouse to the spouse, right? What are you like in the morning? It's like the newlywed wife that was asked, so now that you've been married for a year, do you ever wake up grumpy in the morning? Nope, I just let him sleep. Nope, I don't mess with him. Right? I mean, here's the thing. There are two kinds of people, right, when it comes to waking up in the morning, right? Those who love to wake up in the morning and those of us who hate those who love to wake up early in the morning. Don't like you, right? Because we're night owls. But as I began to think about this, I mean, it's not a thought that you probably think of very often. When I wake up, am I going to wake up in Jesus' name? And what does that look like? Have you ever thought about that? If you could video it, what would it look like? And as I process that, I'm like, okay, I really got to think about this if I'm going to preach this. What would it mean tomorrow when I wake up to wake up in Jesus' name? And this will sound a little gooey and a little like touchy-feely, but I'll tell you the first thing that came to my mind, and it was out of my memory from 35 years ago when I was a middle school student in this church. They used to have, back in the day, we called it Vacation Bible School, but then they also had something for middle school kids because we outgrew Vacation Bible School, and we called it Day Camp. And we actually would go out side of North Webster, and a family in our church, Leroy and Hope Rapp, owned this huge wooded area. And we would go out there, and for 4 or 5 hours, we'd have day camp. We would build our own shelters. We'd fix our own food. We'd read the Bible. We'd talk about scripture. We'd play games. It was a cool thing for a kid. But every morning, before we would go to our individual camps, the whole group would gather together, and Hope Rapp, our leader, would always sing this song. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, because I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and I know things are going to get better, because I'm living each day in the fullness of God's love. And probably back then, as a middle school kid, I'm like, hey, come on, let's just get off of it. But as a 48-year-old grown man now, I kind of think that might be what it means to wake up in Jesus' name. To say, you know what? It's a happy day because I'm living this day. I'm going to live this day in partnership with you, Jesus, and I'm going to do it in the fullness of your love for me. See how practical the Bible can be? What does it mean for you to wake up in Jesus' name? Well, it might mean this. It might be when you wake up and your thoughts turn to Him that you're basically renewing your partnership with Him. You know, this gave me great freedom because as a night owl, and I'm not a morning person, and yet I would preach this because that's what I saw in the scriptures, at least so I thought. It always bothered me when you talk about your spiritual life and being with God and praying. I always hated that verse when it says, and very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went out to a solitary place. And I'm like, gosh, it's not me. And I used to fight with that. And I thought, I need to be that. I need to be like Jesus. And then it hit me. You know what? If the new day really begins at night, in the evening, right? And then I got this other thought. You know, this was Jesus' culture. It was during his lifetime, first century Judea, right? Or Jerusalem. Think about it, my friends. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have social media. They didn't have to reply to emails at 8 and 9 o'clock and take time away from their family. Here's the deal. They got up when the sun rose and they got to work. And when the sun went down, they were back in the house because there was nothing left to do because it was dark. They didn't have electricity. And so a lot of them probably went to bed 6, 7, 8 o'clock tonight, you know, like your grandparents do. And so getting up at 4 in the morning off to a solitary place wasn't a big deal for them because they got plenty of sleep. And it hit me. You know what? I can partner with God at midnight too. Think about it like this. If the day truly begins in the evening, if a new day starts in the evening, it makes sense to me. I'm going to start my day with the biggest acts of trust that I could. Because I'm going to say to my God, God, I trust you with this new day. And because I trust you with it, I'm going to lie down and I'm going to go to sleep now. Because you're working all through the night. And when I get up, when you waken me, I'm going to join you in your work. Isn't that a whole new way of thinking about it? So maybe when Jesus said what he said in John 15, it makes a lot of sense to us. Take care to live in me and let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when it's severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Maybe when you wake up tomorrow morning, a short, simple prayer might suffice. Lord, before I get up and get going, I renew my partnership with you. Thank you for your willingness to live in me and live through me today. How might that change your whole outlook that day? You renew your partnership with Jesus, and then secondly, what if you did this? You acknowledge your dependency on Jesus. What does that look like? See, we don't like to do that. I don't know about you, but I don't like people helping me. I know I have to. I know it's a spiritual thing. You got to lean on one another. And every there are times when you're forced to do that. But on a day-to-day, ordinary, everyday, normal living, do you ever say, I need you today, God? Or is it not until you get stuck in a jam, you don't know what to do, and then, oh, I need you, God? I mean, I think of that old hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid. We don't sing a lot of hymns anymore. But this one's pretty powerful. It goes like this. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Now listen to these words. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Watch this. In joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide. Take up residence in me and with me, or my life will be in vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Jesus said it like this. Yes, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. But apart from me, you can't do a thing. You know your only part in this is this? Man, this is freeing. Our only requirement is to remain in him. See, again, it's about partnership. It's not about performance. What Jesus says is, man, if you stay in partnership with me, if you live in me and me in you, you're going to bear fruit. It doesn't say you're going to have to work to produce fruit. It says, I'm going to bring the fruit to you. I'm the vine. You're the branch. I'm going to put it in you if you'll just stay connected. My only job is to stay connected to Jesus. That's it. And yet, why is that so difficult? Because I don't live my ordinary day thinking about Jesus, being with Jesus, and doing things in Jesus' name. It's not about doing new things. It's about doing the things that you're already doing in a new way, my friends. And so what are the key action steps for this whole waking up in Jesus' name? Well, I'm going to give you just three, and then I'm going to close it up. Here we go. Ready? Develop the skill of identifying God's presence in each moment. Go through your day and say, where did I see God in my life today? Where did I see him amongst the sea of people? You know, back in 1987, there was a popular children's book that was released in the United States. You probably remember it. It first was released in Britain, and it was called Where's Wally? But in the United States in 1987, they reduced it, and it says Where's Waldo? And this children's book, page after page after page, there were crowds of people, and hidden in the details of every page was a little character named Waldo, who was always known for his red and white striped shirt, his ski cap, and his glasses, right? And the challenge for a kid was to become a master in the art of finding Waldo. And you might have to flip through the pages and search for quite some time to pick him out. But here's the thing, Waldo was always there. You know what? In many ways, our experience with God is a lot like reading that children's book, Where's Waldo? Because you and I need to develop the skill of identifying God's presence in our lives. Because here's the deal. You may have to search for a little bit, but God's always in the picture if you look. He's always there on every page. But you got to develop the skill. And then after you develop the skill and you acknowledge that Jesus is there, man, invite him to guide you in that day. As you walk through the hall of your school, as you care for your kiddos at home, as you drive to and from work, as you go into the meeting, as you seek direction for a decision that has to be made later that morning, as you engage with others in conversation, Jesus, guide me. Work with me. Partner with me. And then, my friends, as the day comes to a close, before you start the new day that evening, why don't you take some time and renew your day with Jesus before you drift off to sleep again? Well, what does that look like? Here it is. As you reflect on your interactions, your actions, your reactions, ask questions like this. If I were to watch every scene of my life this day, where was I filled with gratitude? As I look back over my day, what do I have to be thankful for? As I look back, ask this question, what did I take for granted? Where did I just go through the motions that I just assumed this was gonna be the case, but I took it for granted? And man, as I pause and I think about that, God, thanks for that. As you look through your day, where was there joy in that day? Where was there also sorrow that day? As you look back over the last 24 hours, what things filled your heart with regret? What action do you wish you could take back? A reaction you wish you never gave? And then all those things, speak about them directly to God. And maybe even pray for some of the people that you interacted with that day. And before you go off to sleep and begin the new day, pray with thanksgiving for God's mercies that are new every morning and for his love. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ Jesus. Watch this. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. And as you're about to drift off to sleep, ask that he would refresh you and awaken you again, acknowledging his new and his fresh mercies for this brand new day. We're giving you some practical things. I hope that you'll take some time this week to begin to employ those into your life. I would like to pray and ask God to help you do that, if that'd be okay. Father God, as we leave this place, I pray that as we think about sleeping in Jesus' name and waking up in Jesus' name, that we may actually consciously think about it differently. That there will be some in this room who will really take the challenge this evening as they go to bed. They would see that as the start of the new day, knowing that as they go to sleep tonight, it's an act of trust. And it's a gift that you've given. That they don't have to work and worry. That, Lord, they can just say, you got this, God. Knowing that in the morning you will awaken them again so that they can join you in your work. God, may that be a freeing experience for us today, tonight. And Lord, as we go out and we speak and act, may we do it in your character, in your essence. And it's in your name that we pray. And God's church said, amen. So be it. We'll see you next Sunday.